Welcome to today's Savvy Women Show. I'm Steve Wolf with Savvy Women Wealth Management, and I'm here today with portfolio manager Vince Stefano and financial planner Cliff Wheezy, where our purpose is to entertain, enlighten, educate, and energize women into being knowledgeable investors. Although I think today's show might be entitled the Savvy Men Show, because whatever is going around has caught up with all the women in our office and the guests we were going to have on today. My partner, Catherine Magana, who's usually here with me, has come down with some type of bronchitis and sinus infection. Our compliance officer, Carrie Harmon, has the same thing. And it looks like our administrative assistant, Jody Mills, is also fighting this thing off. And the guest we're going to have on today, Mara Fortin, who owns Nothing But Cakes in the San Diego area, also called in sick today. So it's just the guys. Welcome, guys.
Hey, good to be here.
Always.
All right. Well, sometimes these things happen, you know, with a live radio show. So this morning we decided to put on an impromptu show with Vince, Cliff, and myself talking about various topics that are both market-related and financial planning-related. So what I want to do first, I know Vince has been on the show before and Cliff has not, but Cliff was actually one of the founding partners of WWM Financial, which is the parent company of Savvy Women Wealth Management. So Cliff, why don't you tell us real briefly just your background?
My background, I've been in the financial business since 1999. It seems like crazy time already, you know, but that was my third career. I started with 28 years in the Navy as a submarine officer, commanding submarines and submarine squadrons. Finished that in 1994, and then living in Washington, D.C., was a defense contractor in telecommunications from 94 to 99, at which time I decided that I'd rather not have a boss and be my own. And I joined with Steve Wolf as a partner back in 2000 and moved out back to San Diego, which is my wife's hometown, so that made it easy. And so here I am.
And it was always good for us because for those people familiar with the Navy, those who get to be in the nuclear submarine program are usually the brightest of the bright. So we feel pretty honored that Cliff's with us. And Vince is no slouch either. I know having gone to Canisius College, for those people who don't know, that's the place where they were just buried with about 10 feet of snow in Buffalo. So Vince, tell us a little bit more about your background.
Buffalo, wonderful place to be from, but I'd hate to live there. Sorry, all Buffalonians who may be listening, but that's the truth. Started my career in the investment services business in the mid-1980s. I was on Wall Street for a few years, worked with Fred Alger Management, went on to start and manage my own long-short hedge fund in the late 90s through the 2000s, and I've been with WWM Financial now for going on 2 years.
All right. Well, Vince, welcome to the show. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about what's going on right now. One of the big stories, of course, is what's happening to the price of oil. You'd have to be in a cave right now to know that, not to know that your gasoline prices have just plummeted, which, of course, is good for all of us and anyone filling up their tank. But we've seen the price of oil go down from, I believe it was about $115 a barrel back in July, to, as of this morning, it was somewhere around $70 a barrel, might have even gone a little bit lower than that. And of course, that has caused a lot of the oil stocks to plunge. But what I was thinking is that, you know, this really could be good for the consumer. So where we've been really worried about what the consumer's going to do, this is almost like a tax cut. Would you guys agree with that?
Oh, yeah. It gives them cash on a monthly, weekly basis.
Exactly. So, you know, where I was just kind of commenting before, I bought a new car, and it's a hybrid that takes regular gas, and I had one that wasn't a hybrid that took premium. And I was putting $70 or $80 per tankful in, and I think I just put about $38 in there, and it's an unbelievable difference. And I would think that that would put more money in people's pockets, so maybe Christmas is going to be a good Christmas.
I'm gonna be the devil's advocate here, and I know oil prices are great for the consumer, but look at it from an investment standpoint. How many people own stocks like ExxonMobil, Chevron, Schlumberger in their IRA or 401k account? And think of all the mutual funds they own that are heavily invested in those types of stocks. These companies have declined substantially because of the decrease in oil prices. So where they may have a little more money in their pocket because they're not spending on gas, they may have a little less money in their 401k or their IRA. But more importantly, look at all the countries that are out there that depend on oil. And you're starting to see a massive global slowdown because economies are slowing and these countries are consuming oil are just consuming a lot less. So on one hand, it does help. On another hand, well, you know, you may have a little bit less money in your investment portfolio.
Of course, some of those countries that they help are countries like Russia and Venezuela and Libya and all the countries that we don't exactly have friendly relations with. So to that extent, you know, having them maybe go through harder times from a political viewpoint might be a positive.
Thank God for the Dakota oil fields.
Well, it's interesting. So what's really at stake here, and the reason that a lot of the oil stocks went down by as much as 9 and 10 and some a lot higher percent on Friday was because they figured that with the price of oil going so low that a lot of these companies aren't going to be able to be profitable on an ongoing basis. Now, as an article that I was reading just recently from Forbes was saying that OPEC's gamesmanship could actually help a company like Exxon or Chevron. And basically what OPEC is trying to do is say, well, we're declaring war basically on the U.S. as far as oil prices are concerned, and we're gonna keep producing and producing so that the price of oil goes so low that the shale-producing states like North Dakota and Texas are going to have trouble keeping those companies in business.
I agree with that. That's probably how they are thinking. But one also has to think of the fact that, you know, the U.S. does have, you know, this production capability, and the U.S. can soon possibly replace some of the OPEC countries as being a sizable exporter of oil. So that's going to help our economy dramatically.
Well, let's hope so. We'll continue with this conversation a little bit, but I want to just tell everybody that Savvy Women Wealth Management and WWM Financial, a parent company, we're going to have an event coming up here on December 11th, and it's going to be called The Secrets of Great Estate Planning. And we're going to have a special guest speaker, Brenda Geiger, who's an estate planning attorney and estate planning author, who is here in Carlsbad. And if you would like to join us, you know, please either give us a call at 760-692-5700, or you can look us up at savvyup.com. That's SAVVYUP.com. And it's going to be held at Shadow Ridge Country Club. And again, that's December 11th at 6 p.m. So Secrets of Great Estate Planning, it should really be good. And it's open to the public right now. And before we take a quick break, I also want to remind you of our Savvy Women hotline number, 760-692-5700. So if you need some help with your investments or you want a second opinion on your portfolio, give us a call, 760-692-5700. But as a matter of fact, Catherine has agreed to offer a financial plan for half of what the normal price is, and that's a savings of anywhere from $750 to $1,000. And she's going to offer that to the first 10 people, man or woman, who call our Savvy Women hotline number between now and December 23rd and say, I want Catherine's Savvy Up financial plan. Most people don't even think about giving a financial plan as a Christmas gift, but I think it's something you can give to a loved one or yourself or your spouse. It's a great and practical gift to give someone, and it's something that can truly change your life. So give us a call at 760-692-5700. And say, I want Catherine's Savvy Up financial plan. And of course, you can also find us at savvyup.com. So we're going to take a quick break and continue our discussion when we get back. So stay with us and savvy up.
Hi there. My name is Laura McGee. I'm a mediator and a divorce coach. One of the aspects of my work is helping women rebuild their lives after divorce. So listen up, ladies. Some of you are really good at investing and handling financial matters. Others, well, maybe not so good. It doesn't really matter. Savvy Women Wealth Management wants you. Do you want to have fun while learning? Do you want to be in control of your finances, more educated, empowered, and confident? Then you need to be part of the Savvy Women Club. Never heard of the Savvy Women Club? Well, that's okay. That's why I'm here. I'm letting you in on a little secret. We're not the same as the guys. How we feel about money and investing, who we want to work with, sets us apart. The club takes place in a really cool, non-threatening, fun atmosphere. So I want you to check out their upcoming events at savvyup.com or call 760 692-5700 and ask about becoming a Savvy Women Club member. That's savvyup.com or 760-692-5700. So go ahead, ladies, take charge of your life and savvy up!
You're a successful woman. You have a great job. Perhaps you're married. You're probably putting money into a retirement plan like a 401k or IRA. You have an investment account that you have on autopilot. Your monthly statements pile up in the corner and get put into a computer file never to be seen again, except maybe around tax time. If this describes you, then it's time to take a second look at what's going on with your investments. Bring that pile of stuff that includes your investment statements, your retirement plan info, your tax returns, and the rest of your financial information, and let us at Savvy Women Wealth Management take a second look at it. With a certified financial planner and many years of experience under our belts, we can take an objective look at how you're situated as far as your financial goals are concerned. We know that all of us spend hours and hours planning our vacations. Let's take as much time to plan our future wealth. Look us up at SavvyUp.com. That's SavvyUp.com. Or give us a call at 760-692-5700 and set up a 30-minute consultation. Savvy Up!
Welcome back to the Savvy Women Show. Today with Vince Stefano and Cliff Wiese. Some of you who are our regular listeners will notice that Catherine Magani is not here today. Unfortunately, she is under the weather with a little bronchitis, so hopefully she'll be back with us next week. In the meantime, let's talk a little bit more about the what's going on with the oil business. And I saw in a Wall Street Journal article, which I just want to read a little bit from, and it says, one way to read the OPEC decision is a price war against marginal U.S. producers. The U.S. shale boom and high global oil prices have encouraged new areas of production with widely varying break-even price levels. Much of such proven areas as the Bakken Shale in North Dakota can remain profitable even at $50 a barrel by most estimates. The Eagle Ford Shale in Texas also has a relatively low break-even, but the new areas with higher exploration and development costs could suffer if prices keep falling. Now, that's how markets are supposed to work, with supply and demand rather than a cartel of dictatorships setting prices. A lower oil price will mean pain for some U.S. producers, and it is showing up in lower share prices for energy companies. But, of course, no boom lasts forever, and lower prices will discipline American drillers to focus their investments on the most promising areas and innovate further to reduce costs. And a shakeout might have long-term benefits if it doesn't go too far. Meanwhile, lower oil prices are a boon to the American consumer. As we talked about before, the price of gas has gone down to a U.S. average of about $2.79. And I know I just paid $2.94 here last week. And lower prices will also add to the economic pressures we talked about on some of the world's most some of the world's biggest dictators, notably Vladimir Putin. And, of course, they need higher oil prices to make sure that their budget works, because that's what their whole budget is based on, is high oil prices.
Yeah.
So, lastly, all these benefits are flowing from a U.S. oil boom that government did not predict and had almost nothing to do with. The political class has force-fed subsidies to renewable energy with little economic benefit. So the new oil order is a reminder that markets and American ingenuity are better economic pillars than all the schemes of government planners. So again, we fully support capitalism and U.S. capitalism in particular. So speaking of capitalism, let's talk about what perhaps the oil business is doing to the retailers, or what's going on here with the Thanksgiving holiday, the Black Friday weekend, and the Cyber Monday and everything else. So Vince, you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I heard talk on, I think it was Wednesday, about having Black Friday become a national holiday because so many people are not in the office or, you know, out there spending their, you know, their hard-earned dollar on holiday presents. But what's very interesting is this year the numbers are coming in and they're not exactly stellar. Most of the retail area is seeing, you know, over a 10% decline of people shopping in their brick and mortar stores, which just means that more and more people are shopping online and using the comfort of their PC or their laptop or whatever device they're using, especially a mobile device. As Stephen mentioned, lower oil prices can also have a big effect on the price of the good itself, because as Cliff and I were talking off air, many of these products are made with oil. Oil is used in a lot of manufacturing. And when oil comes down, oftentimes you will see that price decline in the finished product. However, as a not as an oil analyst, but as someone who invests a lot in healthcare, technology, and especially retail stocks, you know, I'm always seeing something very unique happen in retail. Whether it's in companies like Under Armour or Michael Kors or even Alibaba, you know, something interesting is happening where consumers are willing to spend their money.
Well, don't you think this is the polar opposite of what was happening in the 1970s? You know, when we had gas shortages and prices were going through the moon, through the roof?
You know, I started driving in, I think I started driving sometime during that gas crisis. And I remember my dad not wanting me to drive to school because he was afraid I was going to use too much gas and then take my friends around and go joyriding in his big Buick, which had about, I think it got 2 miles to the gallon. But you're right, there were long lines. I remember those. And I also remember the inflation was going up because the cost of goods and services kept rising because the oil cost was responsible for higher manufacturing costs, which, you know, affected the consumer dramatically.
It was a direct effect on our life on a daily basis because the odd and even lines, there were limits on how many gallons of gas you could buy in 1974. And that's when I had this big 9-passenger wagon and two little kids in the kid seats. And it became a kind of a hardship, especially when I was in the Navy. And so we watched our money very closely. But I also used a motorcycle, so that helped cut down my mileage costs.
But we were going back to the cost of the goods and services. So that goes back to the retail stores that we're talking about now. It seems to me that that should be a positive for those retail stores.
Well, I think it's a positive for the stores, but you have to remember that the brick and mortar stores are losing a lot of traffic because people just aren't going to the malls as frequently as they used to because of all of the you know, different types of technology we have where we can buy a good or service.
Well, and the cost of the manufacturing of those products and the materials going into that is a relatively small price for what you actually pay off the shelf. By the time you pay the designer, the manufacturer, the delivery system and the store and the storefront and the advertising, all those costs make the change in the price of oil a very small part of the material that you're actually buying off the shelf. So it's not going to have a big effect.
Well, except for the transportation costs, which could. You know, transportation is probably one of the bigger costs they have. Right. So that should help. But go back to what you were saying about, let me go back to another thing. This morning, apparently, there was an article that came out that said that the brick and mortar stores basically were down by about 9%, I think it was, or was it 11%?
11%.
11% from where they were a year ago. But then they talked about how the cyber sales or the online sales are up by 30-something percent. So all in all, do you think that the Christmas shopping is still about the same as it was, or is it not as good as it has been?
Well, personally, I think it's probably going to be as good, if not a little better, because, you know, you look at trends of what's out there. And I just mentioned, you know, three stocks that we currently own in our Neonovations portfolio. And these three companies, I mean, they are going gangbusters. I mean, they're driving top line revenue growth. They're guiding revenue higher. More and more people are hitting their online websites. You know, just for example, Under Armour recently opened its third major 1 million square foot distribution center in Tennessee. You know, they're not doing that because people aren't shopping. They're doing that because people are shopping, but just in a different manner.
I went online this morning and bought a Christmas present, and people who know me and Steve can laugh at that, but that's not how I've led my life over the past number of years. So for people like me to start doing online shopping and know how to do it and make it a regular way of doing business, a lot of business is shifting to online marketing.
Yeah, and Cliff isn't kidding when he says it's surprising, because to get him to use a smartphone was a major thing. So, but you said a couple things too. You said something about your new innovations portfolio. Talk a little bit about that.
The new innovations portfolio is a small to mid-cap growth stock portfolio
that you manage.
I I currently manage it at Savvy Women Wealth Management for the clients of Savvy Women Wealth Management and WWM Financial. You know, it's not exclusive to men or women, but it is ideal for any investor that really wants to invest in companies that are on the cutting edge of new innovations or new technology, whether it's in healthcare, technology stocks, or retail. You know, it's also for investors that are looking for companies that have numerous up and coming positive catalysts. You know, if a person or an investor is looking for top line revenue growth that's significantly above broad market averages, they're going to look to these new innovation type companies. And for any type of savvy investor that wants an asset class that has the potential to generate outsized returns over the next 18 to 24 months, you have to look at these smaller to mid-cap growth stock companies.
Well, because that would be where the growth is. You know, some of the bigger companies are great companies, no doubt about it. They pay great dividends, but you're not really looking for huge growth out of those. You're hoping for maybe, you know, 2 or 3% growth plus dividend growth.
That's true. But and as an investor that's always looking for a little bit bigger growth, I have to look at some of the bigger companies. And what a lot of the pundits are now starting to say is they've had such a terrific run, and they're now beginning to grow by contraction, which means that they're showing top line and bottom line growth, not by innovating, but by simply reducing the amount of products or cutting back their labor force or closing existing businesses. So it's a different mindset on what you want. Do you want very optimistic, forward-looking companies, or are you looking for more companies that are more, that are larger, a little bit more well, I guess, economically
more mature.
More mature is the best word for it. And, you know, if you are looking for some sort of income, you know, look to these bigger cap companies.
Right. And that actually is what I do, among other things, is I manage a portfolio that has a growing dividend structure to it, you know, where we're not necessarily looking for the company to grow by leaps and bounds, which is more of what the new innovations portfolio is all about. Ours is more about dividends and dividends growing. And it's definitely a different mindset. You know, I know you were talking a little bit about, I don't know how much you want to get into it, a little bit more about Coors and about who was the other company that you mentioned?
Oh, I'd mentioned Under Armour and Alibaba. You know, I can, you know, just briefly, and again, all of these companies I'm mentioning are currently owned in the new innovations portfolio. Now, these are not recommendations to people to run out and buy these.
Right. And plus, we own some of these companies, so people need to know that, but they are not recommendations. Go and talk to your financial advisor, or certainly you can call us and we can talk a little bit more about it.
You know, and as Steve was saying, you know, somebody like an Under Armour, everybody knows what Under Armour does. You know, Under Armour is a branded performance apparel company. They're into footwear. They're into accessories, men and women. You know, the most important thing about Under Armour is you can wear it in hot, cold, and in between climates, and you've seen it everywhere. Football, basketball, baseball, soccer, you name it, they have it. But what's very interesting is Under Armour is increasing the amount of sponsorships within the athletic community. In fact, they recently signed a multi-year sponsorship with the National High School Athletic Network, which streams online sports and sports videos and has over 3 million unique visitors. So again, I think that probably in the next 2 or 3 years, this will be the second largest athletic company in the world behind Nike, overtaking Adidas.
Interesting. Well, you know, we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about Alibaba, since that they had just the largest initial public offering in history. So let's talk about that in a little bit, and be sure to stay tuned with us and go through with us the break, and we'll continue our conversation. So savvy up.
Remember 1999? I do. I'm Catherine Magana from Savvy Woman Wealth Management. That was the year I started in the financial advice business. Let's see if you can guess when my partner, Steve Wolf, started. I'm your Venus. I'm your fire. Your desire. Well, I'm your Venus. I'm your fire. Your desire.
seems like yesterday, Catherine. The song was Venus, sung by Bananarama in 1986. We've gotten to know a lot of people over the years. Many of them have become clients and friends. We've gotten to know a lot of couples and tons of women.
That's right. And it's our job to know as much as we can about them in order to properly construct their financial plans. In many cases, we learn many intimate details about their lives.
It's been interesting to see the dynamics, especially between couples. Oftentimes, it's the woman who takes care of the bank book, but it's the man who makes all the investment decisions. And the wife tells us that that's okay because he is going to take care of things.
In all fairness, most of the husbands did a good job. But the problem is that women generally outlive the men. Plus, there's the potential for divorce, which could leave a woman on her own. We want her to be comfortable with investing. That's why we developed our Savvy Woman Invest on Purpose workshop. It's a place where women can get comfortable with investing in a fun, friendly environment.
You can sign up at SavvyUp.com or call us at 760-692-5700. And please understand, this first workshop is not an Investment 101 seminar. So sign up at SavvyUp.com.
No more than 10 women per workshop. So sign up now at SavvyUp.com or 760-692-5700 for the next Savvy Woman Invest on Purpose event. We know you're going to love it and really have fun. That's SavvyUp.com or 760-692-5700.
And you know, a lot of husbands are thrilled their wives are getting educated about investing. So whether you're married, widowed, or divorced, this is a great place to get started. We want you to get savvy, and while you're at it, really have a good time.
Savvy up.
Cause it's always a good time. Welcome back to the Savvy Women Show with me, Steve Wolf, my partner, Cliff Wheezy, and portfolio manager, Vince Stefano, all of us from Savvy Women Wealth Management. Catherine's out sick this week, but hopefully she will be fully recovered by next week's show. So before we get back to what we were talking about with stocks with Vince, we need to take care of a little business, which we do every week, because our attorneys tell us we have to. We have to read a disclaimer. But again, Cliff, this is the first time you've been on the show, so just have to remind you of what we have to do here. You have to read this as quickly as you can, but you have to make sure that everybody understands the disclaimer. And the time to beat, if you're trying to beat it, is 26 seconds. So whenever you're ready, go for it.
People who know me well know that this isn't going to go very well. The opinions expressed in this program are for general information purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or any specific security. It's only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referenced for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional.
That was pretty good. 30 seconds. Hey. 30 seconds. You only missed it by four. We had someone here the other day, I think, who did it in 47 seconds.
Congratulations. So. Good job. I think I did it in a minute and 40.
Yeah, something like that. All right. Well, let's get back to, you were talking about Alibaba, which I find really fascinating because that seems to be the new way that people are shopping. So, Vince, tell us a little more about that.
You know, Alibaba, as Steve said, it's a recent IPO. It's one of the largest IPO. I think it might be the largest initial public offering that came out. And what people may not know is that Alibaba is an online commerce company in China. So think about it. There are 6 billion people in China, 5 billion people, I don't know, something like that. But on average,
billion here, billion there.
A billion here, you know, it's, who cares, right? But what's interesting is that the data is showing that there's over 350 million people on average on Alibaba's shopping network daily. That's the total population of the United States, if not more than that. So basically, Alibaba is a shopping destination for individuals. It's a third-party platform for brands and other retailers where they can put their branded merchandise on. It's an online business-to-business platform, and they're developing a lot of technology for big data management and, more importantly, behavioral trends with the consumer. So think about it as more of the Chinese population, you know, begins to move into the middle class. You know, you can start seeing 500, 600, 700 million people daily accessing Alibaba and the retailers that are on Alibaba. So, you know, I think this is an unbelievable company. It's going to rival anything like Priceline, Amazon, eBay that we have, but they're going to have a tremendous amount of people that are going to go to their site, much more than anyone in our country.
Well, I also heard that some of the retailers, though, are getting together and they're kind of petitioning Congress to try to tax these guys. So, you know, right now, if you go to those sites, in a lot of states, you'd pay zero sales tax. And that's really a pretty big advantage for them. So the Home Depots of the world, I forgot who else was on there, said that, hey, you know, they should have to charge tax just the same way we do. What do you think of that?
You know, I think that, you know, there should be a level playing field, you know, in all industries, whether it's retail, finance, technology, whatever. I do think that everybody needs to play, you know, by the same rules. I think that by companies going to Congress, that's probably going to take a couple of years before something gets passed. So I don't think Alibaba right now is too worried about having to implement taxes on any of their purchases. So, you know, the way Congress moves, this could be a while.
Right. Well, and this has happened before, too. This isn't the first time that they've tried to get this passed. And there are some states that are now trying to collect sales tax. I think the hard part is collecting.
Right. Yeah, you can put it online and you can tell people you're going to do it, but actually getting the check in the mail is much harder in this business.
Right. And as much as I hate to pay taxes, it might be one way to raise a little bit of revenue for the government, matter of fact, a huge amount of revenue.
In fact, I believe that, you know, the government is losing huge amounts of revenue by not being able to tax this. This at the state level and the federal level. I mean, this, you know, they do tax industries across the whole spectrum in this kind of business in every other way. But here, all of a sudden, we found a way to ignore that, and the revenues going to the governments have dropped off significantly. Now, this benefits, you know, the lower 50% of income people more than it does the top 50%, you know, pays the expense and not so, but it doesn't affect them that much. But the people in the lower 50% of income in the country, not having to pay sales tax is a huge benefit to them.
Oh, no question about it. So, Vince, let's get back to a couple of other places in the stock market where we might do well. And again, I have to reiterate, we are not recommending any individual stock. So please don't take it as that, but this is for informational purposes. But you talk about healthcare, and it seems like the healthcare business should be doing really well.
You know, it is doing well. Excuse me. It is doing well, and you know, it's doing well because there's so many new innovations coming out. Whether you're a drug company, whether you're a diagnostic company, whether you're you know, somebody who's manufacturing new hips, knees. You know, think about how people are. You know, the demographics of this company, people are living longer, they're more active in their later years. And so, you know, as the old body breaks down, there are more and more companies that are, you know, designing ways to keep people active through the later years in life. You know, I invest in a lot of the smaller to mid-cap names, and I have found some just really unique companies that have come on the radar screen that I've put in the portfolio. You know, I don't want to get too involved in with some of these companies, but, you know, for some, there's one company that I've owned for quite a while. It's called Exact Sciences. You know, Exact Sciences is a molecular diagnostic company that provides detection and prevention of colorectal cancer. Its main product, and this is interesting, its main product called Cologuard is a non-invasive stool-based screening test to detect precancerous polyps and lesions. Now, what's really not interesting about this company is that people now don't have to go to get a colonoscopy to find out if they have or are potentially prone to colon cancer.
So this could put proctologists out of business.
Well, I don't know about you, but you know, I don't wake up every day thinking, hey, I got to go get a colonoscopy. But really, what's interesting is the Mayo Clinic has fully backed this test. There are a number of other commercial payers that are now getting on board because of that. And more importantly, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid, CMS, just put their final reimbursement on this product for $500 a test. So you're going to see more and more doctors providing this to their patients. And it is a home-based tests. So you can actually get the equipment, take it home, give the doctor a stool sample, and the next thing you know, you'll find out whether you have or do not have colon cancer.
You know, we talk a lot about the Affordable Care Act, commonly known as Obamacare. Does that have a positive or a negative impact on some of the healthcare stocks?
I think some of the bigger commercial payers and hospitals, I think you're going to see some positive results come out of the Affordable Care Act because, number one, if a person who has never had any type of health insurance does now have some health insurance and he goes to a hospital, you know, he's not going to be, you know, in the deadbeat payer category. He's now going to have some sort of insurance so the hospital can make some money. As far as the health insurance companies are concerned, you know, there are marketplaces within the Affordable Care Act where people can shop through these sites, and there will be, you know, a benefit to some of these commercial payers because people have to get insurance under the Affordable Care Act, and they have to get it through an insurance company.
But isn't one of the problems, at least that we've heard about, is that the companies like Medtronic and some of the companies that put hips in place and those types of things are actually kind of disadvantaged by the ACA?
Well, they're disadvantaged because of the medical device tax that's, you know, inherent in the Affordable Care Act, where they tax these companies, you know, and they tax their product to help pay for a lot of the insurance that's being provided to, you know, lower income people that never had insurance before. So, you know, on one hand, there's a benefit. On another hand, there's not a benefit. But, you know, as people say, you have to pay for it some way. I personally, and I don't want to get into politics, I don't like the medical device tax.
No, none of us really like taxes, period.
And I don't like the Affordable Care Act. So, that, you know, I don't want to get into a political discussion in a financial radio talk show.
Right. So we're talking about healthcare stocks. Is there, you know, Illumina is one. Is Illumina a local company?
Yeah, it is. It's a local San Diego company that's done incredibly well with their diagnostics. I mean, they have a DNA-based assay program that can do an awful amount of molecular detection. So yeah, it's a great company. The company was going to be bought by Roche, I think, at $52 or $56 a share.
What is it at right now? Somewhere
it's about $180 a share. So they said no to Roche because they knew they had an incredibly profitable pipeline, and they've proved it quarter in, quarter out. They've done a great job, and investors have rewarded them for it.
Right. It's kind of hard to buy companies, though, that have gone up by that much in such a short period of time.
It is. And that's why, you know, if you believe in the company and you believe that they have, you know, a good product and revenue stream going forward, take advantage of any pullback in some of these stocks and buy them.
All righty. Well, when we come back, we're going to be talking to Cliff Wiese about financial planning, as he has all sorts of initials after his name. So we'll get back to that in just a bit. In the meantime, stay tuned and savvy up. A man named George Adair uttered the following quote, "Everything you've ever wanted is on the other side of fear." Wow, how powerful are those words?
We've all experienced the fear of the unknown. For some, it's easy to conquer, but for many, fear can be debilitating. We at Savvy Woman Wealth Management have witnessed many women who knew they needed to learn about financial matters, but were honestly afraid they would not be able to understand it, so they never started.
They just kept putting it off, and then one day, they were alone. No husband, no significant other. That's when the panic sunk in.
If that sounds like you, it's time to take control. Investing is not rocket science. Start your journey by looking us up at SavvyUp.com. Sign up for one of our next events. Our goal is to enlighten and empower women of all ages.
We believe in education, planning, and the discipline to stick with the plan. Let us show you how. Visit SavvyUp.com to learn more. That's SavvyUp.com. If you take the first step, we'll help you finish the race. Savvy Up.
As Mr. Obvious might say, women and men are different. We are different all the way from the hormones we have flowing through our bodies to the way we process information. For years, the financial industry was very male-dominated and male-centric. It was run by men who educated other men in the style of the way men learn. But things have changed. Many women have now entered the financial arena, and many other women are looking to learn more about finances and investing. We at Savvy Women Wealth Management believe that the process of education should be tailored to the student. That's why we have developed two workshops, Savvy Women Invest on Purpose and Becoming a Seriously Savvy Woman. We believe these events are tailored more toward the way women learn. They are limited in size, so the atmosphere is a little more intimate, a little more inviting, and a lot more fun. If interested, check out our event schedule at SavvyUp.com or call us at 760-692-5700. That's SavvyUp.com or 760-692-5700. Savvy Up!
Welcome back to the Savvy Women Show with me, Steve Wolf, and my partner, Cliff Wheezy, and portfolio manager, Vince Stefano. Well, before we get to Cliff, and he's going to talk about financial planning, I just want to do a couple of quick commercials here. One is about an estate planning event that we're going to have here on December the 11th at Shadow Ridge Country Club in Vista, California. It's going to be at 6 p.m., and it's called The Secrets of Great Estate Planning with special guest speaker Brenda Geiger, who is an estate planning attorney and an estate planning author. And I think this is going to be pretty interesting. So if you would like to go there, you can either give us a call at 760-692-5700, or you can contact us on SavvyUp.com. That's our website, SavvyUp.com. So just again, wanted to remind you of one other thing, and that Catherine has agreed to offer financial plans for half price for the first 10 people, man or woman who call our hotline and says, I want Catherine's Savvy Up financial plan. And that's between now and December 23rd. So it's a great gift to give someone. You can save yourself between $750 and $1,000 on a plan. So I'd really think about doing that. All they have to do is call us and say, I want Catherine's Savvy Up financial plan. Phone number is 760-692-5700. And or you can find us at SavvyUp.com, SavvyUp.com. Okay, Cliff, I know you're here today to talk about the importance of financial planning, and why don't you go ahead and tell us all about it?
Well, this is a good time of the year to talk about it as you get to the end, coming into the Christmas holidays and New Year's, tax season coming up. So that's when most people start to review this sort of thing and putting strategies in place and see how they're doing on their goals. Planning process should involve both short and long-term planning for yourself and your family. This is also the time, the holidays, where the budgets start to get stressed most. So you have a realistic idea of what you need during your working and retirement years, and then you have to have a financial plan that includes goals. But most honestly, be honest with yourself. That's the first thing to do, and that's probably the hardest thing for people to do. You talk to people about their retirement planning and they're too busy. No, I'm still spending money on my kids. I've got to do this, and I can't pay all my bills now. And so don't talk to me about it. And, oh, by the way, I'll never be able to retire anyway. And all of a sudden something comes along. They turn out to be like me, 70 years old. And you find out that, well, it would really be better off if you did have a retirement plan and a retirement nest egg in place. So you have to start thinking about that early, not wait till later.
You know, we told a story in last week's show about a person who kept putting it off, and he ended up going to the hospital with something actually minor and ended up dying. And he left a wife and some kids, and it really was a disaster.
Well, it's sort of like airplane safety guidelines. You know, when you do this, you need to take care of yourself first, and that's often the hardest thing for people to deal with. They want to make sure and feel like they're good parents, good family members. So and they're used to taking care of other people first. So it's really hard. And particularly when you talk about women, I mean, the motherly instinct, I got to take care, make sure my children have what they need. They're getting their great schooling. They look good in the neighborhood when they go out and all these things. And they tend to give away money. And some of my most successful plans that I've put together are to help people who continue to give away too much, and don't save for themselves and do their own investment planning.
You know, Cliff, we also deal with a lot of divorcees and widows. And many of them, of course, have children and need to do a financial plan, but they're almost afraid to come in and talk about it.
Well, they are. And it's not just single women or divorced, but it's couples. I mean, I consider myself kind of a financial marriage counselor because you almost never get a husband and wife or man and woman who sit down and can talk about their own finances in the same way. They have two very different thought processes. They have different goals. They have different things that motivate them, different fears. And overcoming fears is the biggest problem that we have with investments and finance.
I'm curious about something. If you get somebody who comes in to see us, and specifically to see you, and you can tell that they're just not on the same page, what do you do?
Well, that's you got to keep them both happy. So, but one of the things that I've been doing for 10 years and the benefit of having someone like Catherine is sometimes a woman can talk to a woman better. Sometimes she can talk to a man better. Sometimes men go both way, you know, either way too. So you have to put all this into play. And so when we bring someone in initially, we typically sit around a conference table so that we have all three of us or at least two of us sitting down talking to someone about their initial questions and how to develop a financial plan. It's important to get both sides of the story, but with one interviewer, oftentimes you can't do that. So you have to sit down to get both sides of the story, and if you can develop the rapport, sometimes you find out who has the need for more hand-holding, who is the more aggressive, where the fears are, and we have to alleviate those fears. Otherwise, you do get into the buy and sell process where people sell at the lows and buy at the highs.
Well, one of the nice things about what we do is that we talk to both the man and the woman. I know a big complaint I hear from people is that when they go in to see a financial advisor, that and it's usually a man who they're going to see, that they usually talk to the man of the couple, and they kind of talk away from the woman. And really, that is one of the biggest complaints.
Yeah, and you have to. That's why I say I'm a financial marriage counselor, because you have to find out where that is, and you really don't want to alienate one or the other. And I've had one client couple who could not possibly talk about finances unless they came down and sat down across the table from me, and I could sit down and help them through the conversation because they could get no more than about 10 seconds in. If it was just the two of them. So that's how it works. Now, when we do a financial plan, I'm going to talk about the different elements of that. So as we go forward here.
Well, go ahead. We have probably about another 3 or 4 minutes, so get started with that.
Okay, when we do a financial plan, you have to talk about several things. One is, we got to consider inflation and the cost of living changes over time, which people really underestimate. You have to talk about the personal needs of what those people need as individuals and what health things might happen to them. You have to talk about standards of living and family needs as the family matures, because it changes all the time. And then you have to talk about the cost of living in retirement, which people really underestimate. And when I do a financial plan, and with Catherine as well, we break it down into three age groups, basically. Typically, three 10-year periods, 30-year retirement, 66 to 75, 75 to 85, and 86 and up, and then break it down. People talk about you need to have about 70% of what you were spending before in retirement. I don't believe that at all. First thing that happens when you retire is like I just did, and I just spent 5 weeks traveling in Italy. That kind of breaks up the family budget. So I plan for 110% of your normal cost of living in that first 10-year period.
And that's pretty typical, is it not?
Absolutely. I mean, you're going to if you don't buy a new house that's smaller and need to refurbish it, put up new curtains, the stuff gets old, so you have to go on. So then between 76 and 85, people tend to travel less, but hopefully they're still in reasonably good health. So then you go down to that 80% number. But once people get up to late 80s and into their 90s, all of a sudden the medical expenses grow really fast, and the expenses that are put into the plan go back to 100% of the cost of living that you had prior to retirement. but it's the money's going different places. So, and then you have to look at, I look at the, that 3-year period as a 1/3, 1/3, 1/3 and fund it. So that determines the asset allocation. You need to really make sure that that first 10-12 year period is fully funded with and not subjected to full market manipulations.
What do you mean by fully funded?
When if you expect to get $30,000 a year income, well then you say, okay, if I have $300,000 to put toward that first 10 years, then I can go ahead and take $30,000 every year. And at the end of 10 years, I expect that money to be gone, and I go to my next 20-year period. So you adjust your investments such that that money is not so susceptible to market fluctuations, and it's available. And then it becomes a sliding scale. So you always want to have the next 10 years of your life financially laid out and not really subjected to market risk.
So that first 10 years is basically that money is only good to go for your income.
Your income keeping up with inflation.
But that's a third of the money.
That's a third of the money.
Okay, so, then the next third.
The next third goes for the next 10 years. But by that time, once you get to be 75, now you want another 10 years of very safe money and invest it to just keep up with inflation a little bit. And so the portfolio asset allocation changes with each year.
So in the beginning, the first 10 years is strictly for income. Then that next 10 years is invested how? And then the final 10 years is invested
The second 10 years should be a good portfolio mix of bonds and equities and any other investment you might have, whether it be your own personal business, whatever. Mm-hmm. But the third one out in the 20 to 30 year range, none of these investments that an average investor can get to has ever beaten small, mid-cap, international stocks. They've always, over a 20 to 30 year period, beat the other major indexes. So that's how you invest the money. That determines what your asset allocation should be in retirement, and that needs to be reviewed every year and adjusted. And that's what we do with right. people.
And obviously, you know, because we're living longer, this has become more and more important. Now, some people are going to work until they're 70 or 75 years old, which makes it a little bit easier for retirement.
Right, right. And what you have available to you, I mean, I've got a military retirement. I now, my wife and I are both on full Social Security, which I took at age 70, and I'm still working part-time in the business, and I don't have any inclination to quit that. So it makes it a lot easier for someone in my situation, but we have the full range of clients who rely only on their income because they don't have a Social Security. Or they may have a teacher's retirement plan, whatever. So every plan is different.
All right. Well, Cliff, thanks a lot for being here. And next week, our guests are going to be Ryan Alexiev, an estate planning attorney, and Adria Kammeyer, who's come up with a great thing called Cootie Booty.
And now for the quote of the week. Every week, we leave you with an inspirational quote. This week's quote is from Ralph Waldo Emerson. What lies behind you and what lies in front of you pales in comparison to what lies inside of you.
Well, we've come to the end of another interesting show. I thank my guests, Vince and Cliff. And as always, please know that our mission is to entertain, enlighten, educate, and energize. And as always, remember, knowledge is power. For successful investing, never stop learning, and savvy up.
Savvy up.